maybe 10 years ago, maybe 9 or 10 years ago, I preached on this verse as the missing link. And before we look into this, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to open up this Christmas passage for us. Father, we know, Lord, that everything in your word is inspired by your will and your grace. And so we come to a passage this morning that's well known, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to open our ears and our hearts to it. We pray you'll walk amongst us, Lord. And if there be one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, and I mean that in a biblical way, Lord, that they're living their life for you. If there's one here like that today, we do pray that today would be the gracious day they meet their captain of their salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray you would stir hearts and call hearts. And for others, Lord, we pray you'd speak to each one of us individually. Meet our needs as it pleases you through this message and this preaching of your word. May it go out for your glory and our good. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Christmas, the missing link. Very difficult to put that together with Christmas. The term missing link, of course, has a different meaning altogether. But as we shall see, it works. Because in his quest for knowledge, modern man has been searching, always searching for something. Searching for the missing link is one of the big things. They're looking for something that ties mankind to something other than God. Mainstream science has been looking for a link that will tie us to monkeys, sponges, bacteria, and a bunch of other silly things. But the fact is, the most important missing link on this planet is the link between man and God. No link is greater than that. No missing link is greater than that. And the reason is because the missing link has to do with eternity. It has to do with your eternity. In the beginning of Genesis 1 and 2, guess what? There was no missing link. Everything was perfect. Man and God were at peace. Everything was good. That's what God says. Everything was good. Creation was filled with peace and harmony. So the Creator walked in the garden in the cool of the day with man and woman, and they communed with each other. There's no missing link, no anxiety, not looking for something, not searching for something. Man was complete in every regard. But there came a day in Genesis 3 when man's sin separated him from God. Our first federal head, Adam, committed a sin against God, committed treason. It was a time when the chain of love that bound man to God was broken. A time when Adam decided to replace God with himself. And I might add, the unsaved man is doing that even today. And that void that sin created, when man sinned against God, that void is the missing link that mankind has been searching for since the Garden of Eden. I tell you, man's quest to find his animal origins, as they like to call it, is just a misguided way of trying to reconnect us to anything, except our Creator. How do we know that's true? Because the Bible tells us that. Paul explained it in Romans 1, 21 through 23. He said, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. First thing on the list is man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creepy things. That means the missing link isn't about our relationship with the animal world. That's what Paul's telling us. It has nothing to do with critters. Nothing. It's not about our relationship with the world of bacteria, where it all started. No, the missing link the world is searching for is our relationship with God. I want to ask you a personal question. It's rhetorical, of course. I'd like you to think back in your mind to a time before you knew Christ as your Savior. And then I want you to think back to how your life was. Was it full? Was it peaceful? Were you content? Did you understand forgiveness? Did you understand true joy? Even when things are difficult, you can still be joyful. Did you understand any of that? The answer is no. The reason is because those are fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that are given as gifts by God. When Jesus came as a child, he didn't just come. He brought gifts. They would be manifested through his ministry. And all the things that I just mentioned to you, you never had before Christ. And when you got saved, the void was filled. There was a connection. There was a connection that you never had before in your life. There was strength that you never had before in your life. And there was knowledge you never had before in your life. That's the missing link. So the next time anybody talks to you about the missing link, you tell them you found it. And you found it in Jesus Christ. You found it in that cross. That's the only missing link you should even be worried about. Not even worried, but thinking about. That's the missing link the world is missing. They're not just missing the link, they're missing the boat. The whole boat. They're missing the ocean. Because there's nothing clearer than Christmas to show people. I would remind you the word Christmas means Christ Mass. There are two words put together as one, and it means celebration of Christ. Period. Doesn't mean that guy with the red suit and the white beard and all those tasty deer running around the skies. Doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't even mean the tree, although there's nothing wrong with bringing some greenery in your house and lighting them up with colored. I have no problem with any of that. But I do with the guy with the red suit and all those tasty deer. And if we open up our scriptures, if we do that, it's easy to see the incredible way God and man have been linked together. We were linked together with God. You got to remember something. In Genesis 1 and 2, 5 days he built everything. Sixth day he crowned everything he made with man. What would he build the universe for if he wasn't going to have a man in it? What would he do it for? He wouldn't. So when you look around you in the world, you look at this rainbow that was just out the other day, as we talked about in Bible study. You look at a child being born. You look at the beautiful flowers. You look at how everything is in harmony. You look at the laws of nature and how they work. You look at how things are colorful. You look at it all. It's the connection between you and God. Every time you look out there, you see him. And if you don't, you don't want to see him. It's there. That's why the Bible says all are guilty. There's no excuse for anyone not to know God. He's there. And it all started with that Christ child, the thing we're going to be celebrating. We have been linked together with God from the very beginning. Here's some proof. The Old Testament opens with man being made in the likeness of God, right? He made us, didn't it? Isn't that what it says in Genesis 1? They made him in, we'll make him in our likeness, right? In Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. He's talking about his nature, the nature of God, the divine nature, the sinless nature. Adam and Eve was sinless when they were made. They were perfect. Now, the New Testament, it opens with God being made in the likeness of man. Do you see the link? We're made in his image, and then Christ came down, and he was made in our image. That's the connection. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And in Genesis 3:15, he told Satan that her seed, which was going to be him, Jesus, would be hostile to his seed. and that he would bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman would bruise his head, Satan's head, or destroy him. And that's what he did. And if we carry that thought a step further, in the Old Testament, God created his creatures. In the New Testament, sinful creatures crucified their sovereign creator. There's a link there. The point Scripture makes is clear. It has pleased God. It has pleased him to be intimately linked, irrevocably linked with mankind. He's irrevocably linked to us. He did that. It pleased him to do that. He has never linked himself that way to any angels. Never. They don't have a savior. He's never linked himself with any of the lower creatures. Contrary to what a lot of tree huggers think, animals don't have spirits. They have souls. And when they die, that's it. Lights out. Dirt nap. Next. He hasn't done it with creatures. He has only linked himself intimately and irrevocably to mankind. No one else. Think about that. Not angels. Just you and I. And a lot of people like to think angels are these really great creatures. You are an adopted child of God. Much higher than an angel. Much higher. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, is but one of many promises that divinity will take on flesh and humanity will take on divinity. You understand that? Jesus came in the flesh so that you, through his death and resurrection, could take on divinity. I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And a little over 2,000 years ago, in that little stable in Bethlehem, or cave, whatever they think it was, that promise was fulfilled in the form of the Christ child Jesus. Luke 2:7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. I'm here to tell you this morning, Christ is the missing link that reconnects us to our origins. You didn't come from bacteria. There's no great big bang. God said, let there be light, and it was light. You want to call that a big bang? Okay, he called it. Didn't just happen. He's the missing link in this world. Not some half-human animal creature, which, by the way, has never been found. You know, something that's half-human and half-gorilla or whatever. I mean, that make me. If that was true, I'd be a monkey's uncle, I suppose. I'm not buying that at all. And man has been separated from God for thousands of years. Been separated because of sin. But the birth of Christ and what he represents as God incarnate is the missing link. The birth of Jesus Christ is what unites us back to the original position we had with God. You're never going to suffer wrath. You have all the blessings. Read Romans 5, starting in verse 1 all the way to the end, and see. Our Lord declares that himself in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Just him. He's the missing link. Before Christ came into your life, you were empty. You ever notice how lost people are always looking to fill something in their life? They're not content about anything. They're always searching. They never have enough. It's because they're separated from God. You see, when God made man, he made a special part in his heart for man. And when man committed treason against God and tried to replace him with himself, God separated. He threw him out of the garden. He sentenced him to hard labor and to death. And there was a void. And ever since that happened, mankind has been trying to fill that void with something. They fill it with money. They fill it with power. They fill it with things. They fill it with everything you can imagine. Nothing works. Nothing. The Bible says there is no peace, saith the Lord, for the wicked, because they have a hole that they can't fill. They need that missing link, Jesus Christ, and they reject him. You didn't. That's why you're sitting here this morning and you have the peace and the blessings that you've claimed, because you found that missing link. That's what Christmas is about. And how about if I back that up for you, that John 14:6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, in Ephesians 2:18-19. For through him, that is Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and here it comes, members of the household of God. That's what the missing link was, Jesus Christ. It was that cross. When you put that cross in your life, you bridge the connection back through the blood of Christ, through his sacrifice, you bridged it back to God. You found the missing link. That's what you want to talk about at dinner on Christmas Day. Hey, I found a missing link. It's probably going to be in a Hartford Kern or something. I'm going to tell him. He probably won't print it, but I found it. And you did. We laugh about it, but it is true. And the change in your life is the proof of that. It's also important to note that our text is more than just a prophecy of the coming Messiah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We see both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ in our text this morning. And both of these natures are essential to our salvation. Both of them are. By that I mean Christ had to be both human and he had to be divine for God's plan of salvation to work. And here's the reason why that has to be. To begin with, it pleased our Heavenly Father to limit himself to the law he had given Israel. Do you understand that? He committed himself to the law that he gave Israel, irrevocably, because he can't change. He's immutable. Under that law, in Leviticus, you could look it up, Leviticus 25:37. If a relative, for whatever reason, sells themselves to another, in other words, I'm going to sell myself to you as a slave to work in your house because I have nothing and I'm destitute. So they would sell themselves to somebody in the family. One of their blood relatives who has the means may redeem the one who is under bondage. That's Leviticus 25:37. So for Jesus to have the legal right to redeem us from the bondage of sin, the first thing he had to do is to be related to us. He had to be a blood relative. He had to be of the seed of the woman. And that requirement was fulfilled when Mary, who was a virgin, gave birth to the Christ child. Jesus was the seed of the woman that God spoke about in Genesis 3:15. So our Lord, what he did was, before that happened, he set aside his glory as God, and he took on the likeness of human flesh. Now just stop there for a minute. You imagine that. Your Creator, who is sovereign over everything, took all of his glory and set it aside and took on the flesh of one of his creatures. Lower than an angel. That's what Christmas is about. That's what it's really about. Paul describes that transference that he went through in Philippians 2:5-7. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Imagine that. And I would add that the Christ child wasn't human just in the flesh. Scripture affirms that Christ had a human nature. He understands everything. Hebrews 2:17-18. The writer tells us, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, you and I, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of his people, to be our replacement. He had to be like us. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. You're not going through anything in your life that Christ didn't go through. As a matter of fact, what you're going through in your life, I don't care how bad it is, couldn't even be a drop in all the oceans of the world compared to what he went through. I'll give you an example why. Just one example. He was sinless. You know what it's like to be sinless? I told you, the closest I can come to it is driving one day by following every traffic law perfectly. You come to a stop sign, don't roll through it. Stop for 3 seconds. Speed limit says 35, don't go 36, do 35. Light turns red, stop. Turns green, go right away. You follow traffic rules for one day and try not to break them. And if you think that's difficult, you can't even imagine what it would be like to be sinless and to live in a sin-drenched world and to be a member of a family who didn't even believe you. And every day he had to face that. He had a human nature. He understands everything that you're going through. Unlike humanity, Jesus was born sinless because Matthew 1:18 declares his father was the Holy Spirit. And he remained sinless throughout his life. He never sinned, not once. And the proof verse for that is Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He had no sin. He didn't sin. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul backs that up. I told you, for he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that you and I could become the righteousness of God. He did that. So in the Christ child, all the requirements of the law were met. Jesus was a blood relative of Mary. She was a member of the human race, as we are. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. He knew anger. He knew joy. He was tempted by the devil. And when his ministry was over, like every human being, he gave up the ghost. Totally human. So there can be no question that Jesus Christ was human in every respect. In every respect. And we can't even imagine how he lived that life for 33 years, the way he did, sinless. If we look at the second part of our text, it says, unto us a son is given. Given. In this section, we see the divinity of the Redeemer. Here we see Christ's divinity. Under the law, not only must the Redeemer be a blood relative, he had to do more than that, but he must also have the ability to pay the debt of whatever it is. And in our case, the debt of his kin, which is us. And that our debt to God was what? Sin. And he had the ability. So who was the son our text is referring to? You find the answer in John 3:16. Our text is coming from Isaiah 9, and John 3:16 gives you the same word. It means the same son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Same son. The son of God is the Christ child Jesus, and as the God-man, theoanthropic man, as he's called in theology, he had the legal right and the divine power, because he was both man and God, to pay our sin debt to his father. Because our sin debt was held against his father. And he had the ability, because he was both man and God, and the legal right to pay our sin debt. And we see that divine power exercised throughout the New Testament. John the Baptist revealed that Jesus was the Messiah to his disciples in John 1:29 when he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When he saw Christ, that's what he said. He knew it. And at the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Matthew 26:28. Then Paul told the church at Rome, in Romans 5:9, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The sin debt's paid. Past, present, and future. That cross and his death, the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ, the death especially because it's the payment. that paid for our sins, all of our sins. And that was well before, that was over 2,000 years ago. And yet our sins were already accounted in that payment. And Revelation 1:5 reminds us, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us, and here it comes, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's what he did. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. He had to die. And that's what he did. He was human. He was God. He had the ability, and he did it. And at the end of his life, the missing link, man and God, he would utter three holy words that summed up his humanity and summed up his divinity. Those words are, "It is finished." You know, take those words home with you today and remember that. They sum up his divinity and his humanity. It is finished. And please note, those words were not the despairing cry of a helpless martyr. He wasn't saying, "Oh, it's finished." He didn't do that. Nope. They weren't a pitiful realization that his suffering was over, like, "Oh, it's finished. I'm all done." It wasn't that. And they weren't the last gasp of a worn-out life. How do we know that's true? Matthew 27:50 testifies, Jesus cried out again, and here it comes, with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. Now understand something. He was on the cross taking your sins and my sins for 3 hours. He was crucified before that. He was in a praetorium being tortured by the guards. He was up one night and one day. 24 hours he was up. He was tortured. He had to carry his cross. He had to go to Calvary. He went up on Calvary. They nailed him to the cross. He was up there for 3 hours. And at the very end, after all your sins and my sins were paid for, he yells with a loud voice, "It is finished." And it was. The missing link was in place. All the saints in the Old Testament who were in paradise, because they couldn't go to heaven because the blood wasn't shed yet, they were led, it says, he led captivity captive, and he led them from paradise to glory. And that's what he's leading you and I, to paradise and to glory. That's the missing link, right there. Everything that was necessary to show the glorious, sinless character of God was accomplished. Now God the Father can accept you and I because of his sacrifice. He sees, when he looks at Carrie or Pam or Judy or June or Brian or any saint, he's seeing the blood of his son. Make no mistake about it. He knows who we are. Really, he does. But that blood was so effective in cleaning our sins and paying that debt. They're paid in full. Never remembers it. Never to be brought up again. And even now, when we commit a sin, that sin is forgiven. All we have to do is repent of it and move away from it, turn away from it. That's what we do. That's what we teach our kids to do when they do something that's wrong. And that sin is paid for. The wrath is gone. Because that baby came. He was God incarnate. And when he was time, the season was right, he stepped up on that cross. That's the missing link that connects mankind to God. That's the missing link the world, they know about it, but they don't want to hear it. They want to come up with this far-fetched idea of animals and bacteria and evolution and whatever have you. It's crazy. You know how much faith it takes to believe that there was nothing and then all of a sudden something just happened? I mean, even before I was saved, I thought that was kind of stupid. Probably. The sacrifice was made. proof verse about everything being put away, Romans 5, 8, and 9. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. No wrath. No wrath. And not only saved from God's wrath, not just that. We're not just saved from that. Everything necessary to secure an eternal inheritance for God's chosen people, that was done as well in his death. Romans 8, 15 through 17 declares that absolute truth. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Do you get that? You are members of God's family. God loves you the way he loves his son. He has daughters and sons now, not just a son. It's wonderful. You know, and you know what the hard part is? People hear this all. I heard this before I was saved. It meant nothing to me. Even Christians, believing Christians, hear it. They'll go outside the church and they'll say, well, okay, that was great. Now, what are we going to have for dinner? If that's it, you're really missing the whole point. The whole point is you have a Christmas package that could never, if you lived a trillion billion lifetimes, that could never be equaled. I don't care if you were related to Daddy Warbucks. It wouldn't matter. Because you're given things today to deal with your life today. You're given blessings that you couldn't even imagine before you were saved. And on top of that, you were adopted into the family of God. And he was willing to do all of that. He was willing to come as that child to be inside of a woman that he created. And you know what it was all about? It was about him loving you more than he loved himself. There wasn't one benefit for God in all that he went through. You're the benefit. You are the benefit of Christmas. You are the benefit of Easter. You are the benefit of everything he went through. You. And so the question you have to ask yourself, what kind of benefit am I to God? How am I glorifying him? That's why I say we need to glorify God, because he's been of such a benefit to us. We're his benefit. What are we doing to benefit him? That's what Christmas is about. It's about glorifying God. That's what every day for me is Christmas. I get blessed every day. I have blessings that every day in my life I get a blessing. And I know that they're there because I sense them. I feel them. I see them. I hear them. I taste them. These are blessings. And not only now, I know that when my time is up here, the best blessing is coming. I'm going to be with my Lord in his presence. Now, I got to tell you something. For the unbelievers that might be listening to this, there's some people that I've said this to. Well, you know what they say? Well, what if you're wrong? What if when you die, you're no different than your dog that died? What's the difference? I mean, what if that happens? I said, you know what? I lived a better life because I had a reason to live. What's your reason for living besides surviving? What is it? If we took survival out of it and we put it to the side, what are you living for besides yourself? What are you living for? And they just look at you, because they're not living for anybody but themselves. They're living for every day to get another breath of air, to be able to feed themselves, clothe themselves. That's all they're living for. You and I, we're living for the glory of God. And by his grace, he enables us to do it. So even if that wasn't true, I'm still living better than the guy that doesn't believe it. But it is true. And you know how we know it's true? Because each and every one of you that know Christ are a miracle of grace. You're not the same person you were before you were saved. And now that you're different, you can feel that grace of God inside of you. You feel the connection of that missing link. It's no longer missing. You are complete in Christ. And because you're complete in Christ, you have found the missing link. That's what Christmas is. It's finding Christ and enjoying that, enjoying the knowledge that you have, that you found that missing link. Christmas, the missing link. Now God's elect from every nation, because he is the missing link. God's elect from every nation can come and celebrate and find salvation in Christ and Christ alone. There's no other way, because Christ child represents salvation for all of God's people in every generation and in every country. That's the miracle of Christmas, beloved. God's willingness to send his son, the Christ child, to save wretched creatures like you and I. Now, you might think you're a good person, but in your heart of hearts, when you compare your goodness to God's goodness, it's not even worth mentioning. The Bible says our righteousness are as filthy rags. In giving his son to the world, God the Father, the architect of salvation, provided the missing link between sinful man and God. He did. If you're listening to this and you've been looking for the missing link in your life because your life seems to be meaningless, empty, there seems to be no reason for it, just luck, chance, or coincidence. If that's you and you want to find the missing link, you see me or call me and I'll show you in his word how he'll give you the missing link and you can reconnect with him. I'll show you how to do that. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, you guys should go home rejoicing, and celebrating because you've found the missing link in your life. You have, the Christ child Christ. Let the world see this Christmas. Let the world see all the promises of Christmas in your life because that's what it's about. Unconditional love, unconditional joy, unconditional peace, unconditional long-suffering, patience, the fruit of the Spirit is yours. All you have to do is claim it. It's yours. That's really what Christmas is about. It's not about me giving gifts or you giving gifts. It's about the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind. Christmas is the missing link to God. And it starts at Christmas time with his incarnation. And in the new year, I'd ask you to purpose in your heart to exercise all of those Christmas blessings, those promises in your life. Exercise them in your life and exercise them in the lives of other people. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Merry Christmas to you all, and may God bless every one of his children. Let's pray. Father, I know you gave me a wild imagination. I've known it since I was a kid. But it seems like when it comes to preaching your word, you seem to even go above boundaries I can think of, because I never would have thought of Christmas as a missing link, but it is, Lord. You put that on my heart. It is the missing link we're all looking for. Thank you, Father, for those of us that have found that missing link. Help us, Lord, to tighten the link between you and I even more. All of us, even more, that we might have a joyous new year, and that, Lord, we might even celebrate this wonderful joy we have in Christ more this coming year than we have this past year. Help us to apply your word to our lives more so that we can, Lord, shine a bright light into a dark world. Thank you for all the blessings that come from this Christ child born in a manger, who died on a cross, that we could be here today to hear the message, Christmas, the missing link. We do it for your glory, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn.